Chapter 33. Were at their height, Pope with the lovely daughter of a cleaner of gloves, from the doorsteps of his own residence, across Savile Row, round by Clifford Street and Old Burlington Street, back to Burlington Gardens. Is this the Golden Age revived, or Iron London? The dentist's servant. Is that man no mystery to us, no type of invisible power? The tremendous individual knows who else does? What is done with the extracted teeth? He knows what goes on in the little room, where something is always being washed or filed. He knows what warm, spicy infusion is put into the comfortable tumbler from which we rinse our wounded mouth, with a gap in it that feels a foot wide. He knows whether the thing we spit into is a fixture communicating with the Thames, or could be cleared away for a dance. He sees the horrible parlor, where there are no patients in it, and he could reveal, if he would, what becomes of the everyday book then. The conviction of my coward conscience, when I see that man in a professional light, is that he knows all the statistics of my teeth and gums, my double teeth, my single teeth, my stop teeth, and my sound. In this Arcadian rest, I am fearless of him, as of a harmless, powerless creature in a Scotch cap, who adores a young lady in a voluminous crinoline, at a neighboring billiard room, and whose passion would be uninfluenced, if every one of her teeth were false. They may be. He takes them all on trust. In secluded corners of the place of my seclusion, there are little shops withdrawn from public curiosity, and never two together, where servants' perquisites are bought. The cook may dispose of grease at these modest and convenient marts, the butler, of bottles, the valet and lady's maid, of clothes, most servants, indeed, of most things they may happen to lay hold of. I have been told that in sterner times loving correspondence, otherwise interdicted, may be maintained by letter through the agency of some of these useful establishments. In the Arcadian autumn, no such device is necessary. Everybody loves, and openly and blamelessly loves. My landlord's young man loves the whole of one side of the way of Old Bond Street, and is beloved several doors up New Bond Street besides. I never look out of window, but I see kissing of hands going on all around me. It is the morning custom to glide from shop to shop, and exchange tender sentiments. It is the evening custom for couples, to stand hand in hand at house doors, or home, linked in that flowery manner, through the unpeopled streets. There is nothing else to do but love, and what there is to do, is done. In unison with this pursuit, a chaste simplicity obtains in the domestic habits of Arcadia. Its few scattered people dine early, live moderately, sup socially, and sleep soundly. It is rumored that the beadles of the arcade, from being the mortal enemies of boys, have signed with tears an address to Lord Shaftesbury, and subscribed to a ragged school. No wonder. For, they might turn their heavy maces into crooks, and ten sheep in the arcade, to the purling of the water carts as they give the thirsty streets much more to drink than they can carry. A happy golden age, and a serene tranquility. Charming picture, but it will fade. The Iron Age will return, London will come back to town. If I show my tongue then in Savile Row for half a minute I shall be prescribed for. The doctor's man and the dentist's man will then pretend that these days of unprofessional innocence never existed. Where Mr. and Mrs. Clem and their bed will be at that time, passes human knowledge. But my Hatter Hermitage will then know them no more, nor will it then know me. The desk at which I have written these meditations will retributively assist at the making out of my account, and the wheels of gorgeous carriages, and the hoofs of high-stepping horses will crush the silence out of Bond Street, will grind Arcadia away, and give it to the elements in granite powder. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.